See heaven the lost in us be found, and believe for every prayer is answered. And we're gonna see heaven here on earth. We're gonna see life rise from the dead, and believe there's power in your name. Come on, if you're believing for a miracle, I want you to raise your hand up and begin to say, Lord, I'm believing. I'm believing for the incredible, for the impossible, for the astounding to come into my life again. Oh, hallelujah. We believe it, Jesus. We believe it, Jesus. That you'll do it again. That you'll do it again, Lord. You're gonna do it. You've done it before. You'll do it again, Jesus.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. I'm waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. We'll sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough, and keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. And I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. No way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again.
Oh, come on, declare it, church. He's gonna do it.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet.
Thank God. Well, let's make it obvious. We're thankful for the faithfulness of God. Make anybody question it. Thank God he's never, ever failed. The Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he does miracles, when he answers prayer, one of the reasons that he does it is so that people will not forget he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. However many of you have seen that God was faithful even when people were not. When family was not, when the government, well, I'm not going to go there, but how many are glad God is still in control today? Turn around and just say, point at somebody and tell them, God never changes. Go ahead, point at him, and then you can be seated. God never changes. Welcome. I'm so glad to see you here tonight. Ushers, if you'd come, we're going to worship the Lord in our giving tonight. God bless you as you do that. There's my buddy from Old Town back there, my canoeing buddy. I've forgotten your name. Kenny, turn around. Kenny, turn around and look at that guy right there and point at him. Yeah. I forgot your name, sir. Yeah. Chip. Hey, Chip. Good to see you, my friend. You've probably been here. I just haven't seen you to embarrass. But I just want to say hi to you, man. I missed you. I'm glad to see you here tonight. And probably you've been here. I just haven't seen you. You've seen me, but I haven't seen you. I'm glad that you're here tonight. Shane, stand up. Shane and your fiance. These folks are engaged, and she's tickled pink about it. And it stuck. It stuck. Shane, if you remember that Sunday night we had church in the fellowship hall, Shane came up and gave his powerful testimony. And at Charleston Church down east this morning, he did the introduction, he did the devotion, he received the offering. The guy's on track, man. He's doing it. He's doing it. And his little fiance was just beaming with pride. Just beaming with pride over there. That's fantastic. By the way, I got a sign for you. Not, that sounded bad. Ta-da. No, I got a different sign for you than that. I was at Charleston Church down east this morning. And we just got the new signage up. Thank you, Donnie and Steve, for retrieving, picking up, bringing it back. But they were going to show that, I think. I see some motion back there in the fish tank. And they're going to show you the signage of your... That's the road sign, Charleston Church down east. That's the front of the building sign. That's the picture I took just before I turned into oncoming traffic on Route 1. But so excited for the folks down there. I had a great service this morning, thank God. April 14th, Sterling and Tanya Lawrence will have their first Sunday of the rest of their ministry there. At there, they'll have full-time pastors in Sterling and Tanya, and your Project 19 giving is making that happen. I wanted that church to not carry the burden of the salary of a full-time minister, and a church that small typically couldn't handle that anyways, but God has given us the ability to take care of that, and we're going to see Down East change for the glory of God. Just turn to your neighbor. That's down there. That's a Pentecostal hallelujah. Just going. You're getting it right there. You're getting it. Mr. Holmes, it's so good to see you. Is this your family with you here? Is this your wife? I've never met you. Hi. I'm glad that you're here. That was kind of a rude way to say that, but probably we've met. But under this lighting, I don't recognize you. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. I'm in that hole. I'm gonna just stay. But these are the directors of the youth camp, of the old campground, actually. Am I saying that correctly? What's that? Of Whited Bible Camp, okay. And doing a great job. So are you looking for help as counselors and so forth? Always looking for counselors. Would you and your wife stand? I'm sorry, Sarah. I know that's Rick. I didn't think that was Sarah. I know Rick. That wasn't the problem. Rick, you don't look like a Sarah at all. These guys back here are confused. Hey, Faith Bible College International students, if you're looking to do, do you need help for the winter? We're working. So I don't know if you're available to do that, Faith Bible College International students. You're everywhere. But if you want to do summer ministry up there, just see these folks tonight or catch them on Facebook. All right. I love you guys. Thank you for what you're doing. Let the Holmes know that we're so grateful for their ministry. Appreciate them reaching out to the next generation. So excited about that. I believe our youth group is going up in a couple weeks, right? For what do we call it now? Summit? Youth Summit? Yeah. So they're going up. That's going to be a fantastic trip. So all high school students, whether you come to Soulfire or not, are invited to go to Youth Summit. See Kelly about that, and you'll have a great time. Let's get our offering ready to give tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your presence, what you're doing here, what you're doing in Down East, and Lord, what you've got all going all over the state. We give tonight with joy and gratitude. We give with a heart of worship. God, we give selflessly. And I know that you honor that. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen and amen. God bless you as you give. While the choir is coming after they've given, I would like to remind you that next Sunday is our Sunday that we gather after the service for a lunch for the family. The whole church family gathers together out in the fellowship hall. We're going to have a great meal for you. Lasagna, I think. After the morning service, after the meal is over, we gather in here for our annual vision meeting. We go over our finances, testify about how God has helped us last year. We bring in new membership into the family. If you're a part of our church and you're not a member and you want to be a member, please go see Barbara tonight at the main office. She'll give you an application and you can be a part. You can be one of us. Sunday night, I guess there's a football game going on. Not paying a whole lot of attention to it. I've made a little scriptural discovery about it, but I'm not all that concerned yet. But I have triggered some people. So it's been good to see Patriot fans in the Word finally. Praise God! Finally, some Patriot fans seeking the Word. I'm glad to be a part of that. Elevate's having a Super Bowl party at the Heating Lodge in Bangor. Anthony and Sarah, would you please stand? And if you're college age or college or young adult, get up, be a part of Elevate. And go ahead and encourage them. That's nothing wrong with that. All right. Fantastic. Let's worship with the choir as they sing tonight.
Lost all we know to chase a voice on the wind. We're not lost, we're looking for you. It looks like we've lost all composure and pride. If it feels like we've laid our restraint to the side. If we seem desperate, it's just 'cause it's true. You're looking for a city, for a place to show your glory. Look no further, we're available. If you're searching for a people who are hungry for revival, look no further, we're available. If it sounds like your kingdom's all we're talking about, if it sounds like we've tuned all the other noise out, we're still listening, listening. And if our praise and our prayers seem outrageous and bold, if our worship gets too big, for we're building a home, we're not making a show, we're just making a room. If you're looking for a city, for a place to show your glory, look no further, we're available. If you're searching for a people who are hungry for revival, look no further, we're available. And if it sounds like your kingdom's all we're talking about, if it sounds like we've tuned all the other noise out, we're still listening, listening. And if our praise and our prayers seem outrageous and bold, if our worship gets too big, for we're building a home, we're not making a show, we're just making a room. If you're looking for a city, for a place to show your glory, look no further, we're available. You're searching for a people who are hungry for revival. Look no further, we're available. We volunteer, we volunteer to be the place where you pour yourself out. We volunteer, we volunteer.
Stand together with me right now, if you would, please. Choir, thank you. Just before we go into the word tonight, I'm telling you, God wants to do something in the state of Maine like we've never seen happen before. How many of you want to see God do something in Maine we've never seen happen before? I need to announce to you, it's not a matter of if. It's not even a matter of when. It's actually a matter of who. We don't have to wonder if God will work in Maine. And I think I've told you, He's not climate sensitive. He's not looking at economies. He's not even looking at governments to decide where He's going to move. What He's looking for are people whose heart are for Him and who have a willingness to do something for Him. So if you just look around here tonight, and if you just observe the people that are around here, been saved, been set free, I think you need to understand what God has, He has. What God needs, He has. And some of it's right in this building tonight. What He's waiting for is some people to get full of God's purpose, get full of faith, get full of the Holy Spirit, get rid of sin, get rid of compromise, and start putting His kingdom first. And guess what? He'll add all these things unto us. How many of you want God to move in the state of Maine like we have never? Now let me see. How many of you really want Him to move like never before? Signs and wonders, miracles, mass salvation, changing of the culture, changing of the leadership. How many want to see a revival in Augusta, Portland, Fort Kent, Kittery, Mexico, Maine, Calais, Maine? Every person that says, I want to be a part of the last day revival in Maine, would you lift your hand or all over the world and begin to say, Lord, here I am. I volunteer for this. I want to be a part of this. I don't want to be a spectator. I don't want to be a critic. I don't want to be somebody keeping the score. I want to be playing. Amen. I want to be in the field. I want to be in the game. I want to be a part of this. So God, we consecrate ourselves before this week even begins. This first day, I should say, of the week, I pray a spirit of holiness comes upon us in a mighty way. Come on, church, let's get a hatred for sin right now. Lord, I pray that You'll put a hatred for sin and compromise and any kind of filthiness of this world, all the way from actions to attitudes to thoughts. And now, Lord, I pray that You'll get rid of any fear, any reservation, any anxiety, any thought that we can't. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world tonight. And now, Lord, we pray, fill us with Your Spirit that makes all things doable in the mighty name of Jesus. Would you now just begin to pray, Lord, fill me with Your Spirit. Come on, Christians, you're in God's house. Begin to say, Lord, fill me with Your Spirit so that what I do for You won't be hard. It'll be natural. Amen. It'll be natural to help the hurting. It'll be natural to see those that are lost. It'll be natural to do what we have, give what we have to those who need it. I pray, Lord, that this week, of all the great things that will happen, I pray there'll be a fire on every person that's in this meeting tonight that will lead people to Your Son, Jesus Christ. Open doors for us to win the lost. Come on, let's pray. This is a house of prayer, not a house of entertainment, not a house of staring. This isn't a house of the hookup. This is a house to get on fire with the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray that You'll fill us with Your Spirit. Give us a passion. Give us a desire. Put us back in the prayer closet. Put us back in the Word. Put us back in alignment with Your blessing. And I pray, God, this week we become mighty warriors for the gospel's sake. I pray demons flee when we walk into rooms. I pray the Holy Ghost comes when we come into rooms. I pray that marriages start to get healed. I pray that families begin to get mended. I pray for insight, wisdom, and the power of Your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, let's give God thanks for this week's victories that He's given to us in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Can I get a good amen on that tonight? You can be seated. You can be seated. We've got some great preachers. They're going to come on this platform tonight. Every semester, we've tried to do five for five. Thank you, Joel. But I've asked, can we do two of them this semester? And if we like it that much, maybe we'll do three next semester. Maybe every month we'll bring in five preachers and give them 5 minutes. We got enough of them. And if you think preaching is easy, its only reason is because you've never tried it. And if you think it's easy to do in 5 minutes, you've never tried that either. It can be, especially if somebody's talkative, it can be very difficult. But I'm so grateful that Charleston Church has the privilege to be a part of what God's doing at Faith Bible College International. For 60 years, God has been and continues to raise up professional Pentecostal servant leaders who are preaching the gospel all over the world today. Over 1,500 people have walked the hallways of Faith School of Theology, Faith Bible College International, and only eternity will reveal all of the lives that have been touched through this ministry. And we believe that God's going to raise this Bible college up not to match what it's done. We believe that God wants to do more in these days than ever before because Jesus is coming soon. We need preachers. I don't know if you know it, but there are about 1,500 preachers dropping out of the ministry every month. And if they make it, they're usually broken and disheartened, and marriages destroyed and destroyed their own lives. And I'm asking God to help us to raise up a generation that not only never quit, but they are happy. They have great marriages. They have great families. I mean, I believe you can have it all. I believe you can have an effective ministry and a happy home. But it takes some wisdom from the Lord for that to happen. And so these young men and women are here training. And tonight, I don't know what the order is, but... When you come up, just tell them your name, what year you are at Faith Bible College International, who your favorite teacher is at the school. All right? I would suggest the one you need the best grade from, you fall in love with their name. Give them your name, where you're from, what year, and who your favorite teacher is, okay? And I don't know their order, but it's Christian and Gabby and Ray and Denitra and Joel. And I can't wait to hear these guys preach. Now, this isn't... I need everybody to know this isn't for a grade and this isn't for entertainment. This is so that every one of us can get nurtured in the Word of God. And I've received every time I've heard these guys preach, I get something out of it. And I can't wait to hear it tonight. So you ought to make them feel like that they're preaching the greatest message they ever have, because this isn't the easiest thing they've ever done. Would you give a warm welcome to Faith Bible College International? My buddy Joel is going to come preach.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for coming out tonight. So I want to leave you guys with a little bit of something today about keeping our eyes on the Lord, because that's something I've actually struggled with a little bit lately. That's something I need to really preach to myself, something I need to get into my heart and into my mind so that I can keep my eyes on the Lord and keep going even when things are hard, even when things are going smooth and everything's going great. We still need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Even when we're down in the depths of despair and things are bad, we still need to keep our eyes on the Lord. So lately I really kind of lost a little bit of my vision. I wasn't sure what I was going to do with my life in a couple years down the road. I wasn't sure if I was going to be preaching. I wasn't sure if I was going to be maybe selling cars or something. I didn't really know. So I'm obvious. Oh, I didn't even start right. Sorry, guys. My name is Joel Berry. Whoa. You guys better start right. My name is Joel Berry. I'm a junior up at Faith School, and I wasn't sure if this was a joke, but my favorite teacher is Mr. Dreyer. He's a great teacher. Give it up for Mr. Dreyer. He's a great teacher up there and a mentor of mine. And speaking of mentors and keeping our eyes on the Lord, I had to talk to some mentors lately. I had to talk to Mr. Suddeth, Mr. Richard, Mr. Dreyer. I needed to talk to them to get my focus back on right. I wasn't sure what I was going to be doing with myself, and they let me know that I just need to put one foot forward in front of the next and just keep doing the right thing, keep staying focused on the Lord. And as a few people in the Bible did, as we keep our eyes on the Lord, great things will happen. Even though we don't know what the future is going to be, the Bible says, for lack of vision, my people perish. That's something that I didn't really want to happen in my life. I wanted to have vision for the future. I wanted to know what's going to happen in the future, even though we don't. I'd like to know where I'm going to be in the future, even though we don't. So we still need to keep our eyes on the Lord and let Him know, let ourselves know that everything's going to be all right. So a few people in the Bible that I picked out was, one's Daniel. During this time, Daniel, the king of the area, was Darius, and he made a decree that for about 30 days, no one could worship any other god, no one could worship any other idol but him, just King Darius. And Daniel was a man of the Lord, and so he continued to worship the Lord. He continued to pray to the Lord, and some of Darius's men got a hold of him, brought him to the king, and ended up getting him thrown into the lion's den. And when he was in the lion's den, he kept his eyes on the Lord. He kept praying. He kept his focus. And he got delivered from the lion's den. Another man, Joseph. Joseph had a dream. He had dreams and aspirations. He told his brothers these dreams, and they got jealous of him. They ended up throwing him in a pit before he got sold to slave traders. And while he was in the pit, he kept his eyes on the Lord, and he became a great ruler in the future. So no matter where we're at, no matter how bad things seem, no matter, like I said, no matter where we're at, things will work out as long as we keep our eyes on the Lord. Another man, the last one I want to speak about is David. David was a young shepherd, and he had a king that just hated him. He was throwing spears at him, trying to kill him. So David ended up running for his life, and he fled to this cave. And as he was in the cave, he kept his eyes on the Lord. And God delivered his enemy, Saul, right to the cave. He had the opportunity to kill him. His men said to kill him, but he didn't. He just took a piece of his robe and continued on his way. And David became the king of the land in the future. So that's just what I want to leave with you guys today, is to keep your eyes on the Lord. Because I don't know where some of you are at right now. Some of you may have just had the best day of your lives. Some of you may have just had the worst day of your lives. But no matter what's going on, everything's going to be all right. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Denitra Mosley, and I am a mid-year junior at Faith Bible College. And as for my favorite teacher, that's a hard one. I like all of my teachers. They're all my favorite, if that counts. So I remember as a freshman coming up here and introducing myself, and I never thought I would get the opportunity to preach up here. So this is really amazing for me. So if you could turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, and I'm sure some of you can probably quote this to me, but it's Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And so it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And so I titled my message today, "Answer the Call." So I know when I was called to Bible college, I was already in another secular college, and honestly, I didn't really want to come, honestly, because I had my own plan. I had my own future, what things that I wanted to do. But God was kept telling me, "I have different things for you. I have better things than you can even imagine." And I didn't believe it. I honestly did. I thought I knew what I wanted to do, and it was great. But God has different plans for me. And I just wanted to tell you guys today that there is no limit on what God can do in our lives when we fully surrender to Him. We have we serve an amazing, undescribable God, and we need to stop trying to put Him into our plans, but we need to get into His plans and get on board of what He wants to do. And I know that God is calling people here today, whether you're here in person or you're on the live stream, God is calling people here, and we need to get ready or you're going to miss out. And that is the saddest thing, when you miss out on what God is calling you to do. And I know there can be a lot of fear and intimidation when God calls. Like Pastor Rude was saying, coming up here is not easy. We may make it look easy, but it's not. It takes a lot of courage. And when I was building my courage to come up here and figuring out what I wanted to say. God was just telling me, haven't I prepared you for this? Haven't you studied for this? And it just dawned on me that God would not call us to do something to humiliate us or call us to make us look bad. I don't know about you, but I know that God loves me. He loves me, and he loves you too. And it'll be insane, insane if he came down from heaven as a child where people didn't even like him, died and suffered on a cross just to call us to do something that's not even worth it. It's insane to me. So I don't know where you are, but God will never call you to do something that he's not already there, where he hasn't already been. And, you know, his word says, perfect love casts out all fear. So as long as we know that we're in his love, that he is for us and not against us, there is nothing that he cannot do. And I don't know what God is calling you to do today. Maybe he's calling you to come down to these altars and accept him and to finally get salvation, to have a relationship with him. Or maybe he's calling you to do something else. I don't know, but I'm just telling you today, don't miss out. God called Moses to lead his people from Israel. He called David to lead a nation. He called Paul to become one of the greatest apostles. And I know there are so many testimonies in this room of people that God called and they decided to follow the call. They answered the call and it was the greatest decision of their life. And they do not regret it. So answer the call and don't miss out, because it could be something absolutely amazing. Thank you.
Praise God. My name is Ray. I'm a senior, and I don't want to say who my favorite teacher is. I feel like the classroom will become heated, and so we're just going to leave it at that. Praise God. But I want to pose a question to all of you. What are you doing for God? Because, you know, there's so many times that we talk about how God has blessed us. Right. You know, God has blessed me greatly. But what are you doing for him? What are you doing with the blessing of the Lord? He's blessed us to bless others. Amen? Yeah. I'm looking through the minor prophets, and I'm looking at the prophet Jonah. And we look at the prophet Jonah, he's a runaway prophet. He doesn't want to bring to light the hatred that he has towards the children of Nineveh. He has a strong hatred towards them. And so he runs from the calling of God. And what does he do? He takes a boat to Tarshish. And he sinks way down into the boat and goes to sleep. And even though there's a storm out there, God sends a whirlwind. And the people are calling upon their God. Now, who's responsible for this? Who do we look to? Because, you know, we're sacrificing to all of our idols and nothing's happening. Jonah, call on your God. You know, I really believe today, just like Jonah, the church is asleep. What did God call us to do? He's called us to make disciples. A lot of times we come into church and we seem to wrestle with our battles so much that we forget why we're even called in the first place. We're called to make disciples, not save people. God does the saving. But to make disciples, and too many of us are in the boat, this church, the four walls, and we're falling asleep. And people are outside these four walls asking, what is the answer? And I really believe this destruction going around. You know, we can see with the abortion laws being passed. You know, what do we look to? Who do we look to? Why are these things happening? It's because we're not doing our part. We have not addressed the winds and the waves. That God Almighty is in control. We're called to make disciples. We're not just called to just invite people to church. There's more to it. God's called us to actually be the church. The church is actually supposed to be activated in one purpose, to go out there. You know, when I was in Kansas City, in fact, I was with Gabby. We were going door to door and we were evangelizing. And I know we were told to, you know, invite people to the church. And so I had knocked on somebody's door, and we're actually in the projects. A woman opens up her door very, very slowly and says, yes, can I help you? And I says, you know, we want to invite you to this church. And immediately she goes, what do you want? What do you want? You know, sometimes that's not always the proper approach. The thing that we struggle with the most is just showing love. You know what I said to the woman? I said, can I just pray for you? Did you know that love is the greatest form of evangelism that anybody could ever do? We're always looking at, you know, what works? Does this work? No. Does this give me results? But it's a walk of faith. Not by what I see, but by what I believe. Love is the greatest form of evangelism. And even if they don't accept them right on the spot, but do you know what? She opened up her door and said, please pray for me. And if you ask Gabby, we've seen people cry. We've seen the power of God move in a mighty way. Sometimes that's all it takes. Can I just pray for you? Even though I don't know what to say, Jesus loves you. And he's forgiven you. They might look at you like, man, you're crazy. But you know what? In the long run, they'll look back at your life and say, wow, that was the answer the whole time. It's time for some of us Jonas to step out of the boat and to play our part. And I know I'm going to wrap up here. I don't know how much time I have left. But you know, in John 4, Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman. And that's against society. A Jewish man is talking to the Samaritan woman. But you know what? He never thought, you know, what do my disciples think? Even though it seemed uncomfortable, he was never concerned about himself. You know, we talked about the battles. We talked about things that make us comfortable and uncomfortable. We don't like the challenge. That's why we're not out there. We don't like the challenge. But it's time for the church to put our eyes on the Father. Jesus said, I will do whatever I see my Father doing, and I will say whatever I hear my Father saying. We need to be about our Father's business. Amen.
Hello. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name's Gabby, and I'm a sophomore at Faith. And I'm so honored and excited to be able to speak for a little bit tonight. So if you could turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 4 through 7. Again, that's Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 4 through 7. It says, then the Spirit of the Lord said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. And later on in the chapter, the Spirit of the Lord tells Ezekiel that this represents the people of Israel. Tonight I've titled this little message, Dry Bones Rise. And I just want to bring out a couple things that the Lord showed me through this passage. And the first is, what dry bones are in your life? It's very important that we identify the dry bones that are in our life so that we can do something about it and we can do it effectively. I don't know if it's your prayer life. Maybe you've been slacking in that area. Maybe your family's going through a hard time. Maybe you just lost your job. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the fear that's caused you to not use the gifts that God's placed in your life. Maybe it's whatever's holding you back from the call of God that you've been pushing off. Whatever it is, identify it. The second thing, we need to understand that our dry bones must obey the word of the Lord. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." Isaiah 55:11 says, "It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." Speak the word of God over your dry bones, and they have to rise. The third thing, you need to know that it is not too late to be great. In verse 10 of Ezekiel 37, after the skeleton received muscle and skin, and breath was spoken into it, it says, "They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army." They stood up a great army. The people of Israel, they thought that they were too old. They thought that there was no hope for them. They thought that God couldn't use them. So don't beat yourself up about what made your bones dry out. Don't beat yourself up about how you got to where you are or what you did wrong along the way, because when you do that, you're just holding yourself back from going forward and moving on to great things. In closing, I just want to share a little bit about my own story. A couple of years ago, I was in a very tough season in my life. It was just a year after I had committed myself to the Lord, and I decided that I was going to follow him no matter what. I was going to move forward with him. I was going to serve him for the rest of my life. And I felt like I was doing great. I felt like I was going fast. I felt like I was moving forward. Nothing could stop me. And then I hit a wall. I don't know what happened. I just felt dry. I felt like I couldn't move, like I couldn't breathe, like there was no way that I could move forward. But God had different plans. See, when I felt like my bones were dried out, when I felt like I couldn't go forward, God did something. He revived me. Where I felt like I couldn't go forward, God wasn't done with me. And now here I am in Bible college training for ministry. During this, I never thought I could do this. If you would have seen me 2 years ago, I would have never been standing up here on this stage, even singing. I couldn't even sing in front of people 2 years ago. But God had a plan, and he's not done with you yet either. So I don't know what your dry bones are. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. But I encourage you to let the word of God revive you tonight. Speak to your dry bones, and they will rise. Thank you.
I promise I'm not taking a 5-minute nap. I promise. It's tempting, though. That'll do. All right. Good evening, everybody. My name is Christian Valladolid, if you don't know me. I will stir up the waters a little bit. My favorite teacher is Dr. Bell, and he's not here, so. But he is my favorite teacher. I like the title of my message tonight, "It Matters Where Your Mat Is." If you could turn to the book of John, chapter 5, verse 8. The book of John, chapter 5, verse 8. And the context of the scripture is that Jesus meets this man by the pool of Bethesda. And he sees this man right on his mat. And he says to the man, "Do you want to be made well?" And the man says, "I can't, sir, because I've been here for 38 years. I've been trying to get by the pool. And every time that I get to the pool, someone beats me to it. There was a legend that an angel would come down and touch the waters of the pool. And whoever would get to the pool first would be healed of their infirmities, of their sickness." And this man did this for 38 years. And finally, Jesus doesn't even he doesn't listen to that. He says, "You know what? Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." And so the man immediately stands up, picks up his mat, and walks, and is free from the place that has been keeping him bound for 38 years. He gives him three simple instructions, but it was a step of faith and obedience that was able to get him his miracle. I want to challenge you today that one thing is that there is nothing impossible for Jesus. There is nothing that Jesus cannot heal. There is no addiction that he cannot break. There is no anything that pornography or drugs that he can't deliver you from. But there's something that really caught my eye when I looked at step number two, picking up your mat. And in the New King James, it says, pick up your bed. And when I think of bed, I think of sleeping. I think of naps. And all the Bible college students said, amen, because we all love naps. Just a fact. But when I think of a bed, I think of rest. It's a place of rest. And what happened was that this man found his place of rest in something that was false hope. And that happens a lot with drugs. You think that you're going to get the high that you're going to get, but you never really get the high. In pornography, it promises you it's some kind of pleasure, but it's never really the pleasure you're never really ever going to get. And this man, Jesus says, pick up your mat, because if you stay here, this is what's going to happen. Step number two was supposed to be a door of opportunity, but then all of a sudden it becomes a door of temptation. And what happens is that you start to move forward, and then temptation comes. And says, you know what, you can go back. It's fine. You did good enough. You for 30 days, 2 months, you're fine. It's okay. And you start to entertain that. And then you go backwards. You know, I did good. I got there. You know, I'm still strong. You know, what's one time? Really, if everybody who says one time, do you really stay one time? And they begin to stay back again. And they get comfortable in their addiction again. And they're like, you know what, I can get out of it. No, you know, this is really comfortable. And they become addicted again. And they get stuck again. And Jesus said, the reason why I told you to take your mat is because you have no business being here anymore. Psalms 91:1 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I'm telling you, you're never going to find your rest in drugs. You're never going to find your rest in pornography. You're only going to find your rest in Jesus Christ. So I want to challenge you today, because the power of God, Jesus, he says, I've given you the power to rise up, but you got to take up your mat if you want that rest. So I'm going to take up my mat, because I have no business being here anymore. I'm not staying in the place that's keeping me bound, and I'm going to the place that, where his rest is going to be, where his freedom is going to be. I have no business being in that place anymore. I'm staying in freedom. Jesus not only wants to set you free, but he wants you to live in freedom. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let me ask you something. It matters where your mat is. Where are you finding your rest? You're never going to find your rest in that place of addiction. But I'm telling you, when you come to the presence of God, when he sets you free, you can live in a life of freedom. You can live in real rest. You can live in a restful, peaceful, freedom life for the rest of your days. And I want to challenge you to never look back. Keep moving forward. I'm not looking to the bondage anymore. I'm moving to the promised land. Forget about Egypt. The promised land is my destination. I'm not staying in the pool anymore. I'm going to the ocean of God's freedom. Where's your mat, guys? Where's your rest? That's all I have for you today.
Great job. You guys stand, if you would, stand and face the people. Would you encourage these guys? Let them know you're so proud of them. Great, 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 great job. That is so good. Good job, guys. I love it. I love it. I love it. I don't know who's teaching you guys, but they're doing a great job. I'm serious. They're preaching preachers right there. The United States is infected with non-preaching preachers. They're killing the churches. They're killing Christians. They're killing our reputation. These guys are preaching preachers. I'm so proud of you. Thank God. Just when I didn't know if it would happen anymore. It's just happening all the time. It's so good. Every one of you, I'm so proud of you, because you came up in your own personality. You didn't try to be somebody else. You came up. I know who you are. And you're the same on the platform as you are in the hallways. I'm proud of you. And you've got a different arena. You've got a different group of people. You're anointed for a people. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, I've been anointed to preach the gospel to. So you're anointed, but it's not just to be anointed. There's a purpose for it. There's a people that your anointing is for. They might be brokenhearted. They might be blind. They might be captives. They might be oppressed. They may be poor. But the Bible says that there's an anointing on your lives to reach one or all those groups right there. And the good news of Luke 4 is everybody gets a chance at healing and redemption. And wrapped up in that anointing on your lives is something to do that. So, students, are you proud of your classmates today? Good job. Really, I mean it. Heather, if you'd help me, every Bible school student, stand to your feet if you wouldn't stand across this altar. I didn't plan on doing this, but I'm going to do it tonight. I think Gabby's mom and dad are here tonight. Man, you guys must be just beaming. Are you so proud? Isn't that amazing what God's doing with your girl? I'm proud of her. Gabby's the real deal. Come on, all the students. Apparently, they're all Republican. Why don't you move to the left a little bit? Move to the left a little bit. That millennials, they're all Democratic. Huh? Chill out online. You didn't have the guts to be here, so you can't make any remarks. All right. That's good. I want everybody else to stand, if you would, please. Everybody else, would you stand? Would you, how many of you, do you care about the ministry? Would you come and stand behind these? I don't do this hardly ever. Would you come and stand behind these men and women today, if you would? You know, the price that many of them paid to get here, the price that they're paying to stay here, the price they're willing to pay to get to where God wants them to be. Joel, come here, would you please? I don't do this, Joel, yeah, come here, bud. Come here. I don't do this all the time. This isn't Faith Bible College Church. This is Charleston Church. But, you know, when we first met Joel, the devil had his hand all around his neck with addiction and drugs, and it was destroying his whole family. And when we got to meet him, he just started his journey with Christ. Went into Joe's house for a little while, went up to Faith Bible College, and I tell you, hell must just be having a terrible migraine when they look at you up here preaching. People, you have no idea the stuff that this boy has been through, the stuff that this kid has gone through, and generational stuff. And man, who, ma'am? You're his mom. And who's that with? Who's this gentleman? It's Dad. Would you both come up here? Would you come here? Can you believe this? Come here if you would. Bless you. You must just been sitting on the third row tonight, just really pinned. Isn't this awesome? What were you thinking when Joel was up here preaching?
That was a miracle. Never thought I'd see this day. It's wonderful.
God is good. God's answering prayer. That's what he's doing. God answers prayer. Hell wanted to kill your boy. Heaven wanted to use him. I'm glad heaven had its way this time. You have some other boys that need, some other family members that need Jesus? Huh? Yeah. Brothers and sisters that need Jesus bad. The enemy's trying to do to them what he tried to do to Joel. Well, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these brothers and sisters. Lord, I thank you that there is nothing that has happened that cannot be overcome by what can happen. Thank you, Lord. Where there was sin, grace did abound. That means that there's no attack, there's no ground taken, no lives affected that is greater than the grace of you, Almighty God, today. I thank you, Lord, all that sin and hell have tried to do or cannot even compare to all that your grace and your righteousness will do. We thank you, Lord, that Joel is the first one. Make his testimony an encouragement to mom and dad, but make his testimony stand out to his siblings. And he won't be the last one to stand on a platform and share the gospel. He won't be the last one to say, I've been set free. He won't be the last one, Lord. I believe he's the one. He's the first of many. And we thank you for it. Encourage these parents. Encourage this family. I know that there's been an attack on the family, on their family, but God, you're going to reveal. Reverse the curse. Amen. And there's going to be great testimony. We're going to trade our tears for shouting. Hallelujah. We're going to, you've bottled up every tear, God, and you're going to return a harvest of souls and peace. And don't let the enemy bring any condemnation to these precious parents. But Lord, let your spirit bring encouragement to them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I'm so glad you're here.
Talking about getting his focus back.
Yeah.
And that's what I would like to say to everyone here. Put Jesus first in your life. Give yourselves totally to him, and he can work everything out. And all these others, four that preached, their words were great. They spoke of Jesus.
That's good, man. That's really good. I love you guys. I don't think I've ever met you in person, so I brought you on a platform and made you cry instead. All right. Bless you. I love you. All right. Amen. Praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, these are very special people. Most churches don't have this, and we get to be a part of it. Would you just put your hand on a shoulder, and maybe you're a couple people back? Just, we're all praying, so just, would you pray? Would you be back there? Would you go ahead, stretch your hand this way? And these are very, there are lives that will be touched because these lives have been encouraged tonight. Lord, we thank you for men and women from all over the world, from Brazil, Chile, Canada, Spain, Cameroon, Kenya, India, North India, South India. Lord, I thank you for people here from all over the United States that your hand is upon them. We thank you that you've called them for ministry. You've called them to save lives. Amen. Every one of them have been called to save lives. They've been called for different places, for different people, for different positions, with different giftings, different strengths, but the same message. And that's to save lives. So God, I pray in these formative years that go by so fast that there's something significant that happens in them physically, in their spirit, in their mind, in their body, in their soul. I pray, God, that there'll be a generation that learns from previous generations, but God picks up a mantle for their generation. I pray the power of Pentecostal ministry continue to rise up within them with gifts and signs, wondering, growing. Lord, I thank you that you're calling spirit-filled, Pentecostal servant leaders, debt-free, to preach the gospel, make a world of difference. I pray that you'll put something on them. Every need is supplied. I pray for health, provision, Lord, for open doors, God. We the church can't worldwide go where the ministry won't go, but where these leaders will go, the church will follow. So I pray that you continue to bless them. Staff and faculty that are giving their lives, making ultimate sacrifices to make sure this happens, bless them, I pray, over and over and over and over and over and over again in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hey, Joe, come here, bud. Come here, Joe. Yeah, you. You're the only Joe I know. There's got to be a lot of Joes, but you're the only Joe tonight. So I want you to meet, what's your last name, Joe? Joe Guerrero. From what part of Colorado?
Pueblo, Colorado.
Pueblo, Colorado. There's a wife and son and daughter. Is it Joshua? Jacob, like I said, Jacob. And your wife is Jennifer. I knew it started with a J. And your daughter is Mary Jane. That's exactly what I was going to say. Yes. I'm sorry, bud. Pueblo, Colorado. Joe, tell us, about a year ago, you started your journey here, right?
Yeah. I tried everything, and about beginning of the year, I finally applied for many organizations across the U.S. and everything kept getting shut down, and this is the only place that called after I gave up hope on a lot of things, and only one that opened up for us and told us we were, you know, accepted. And it was like a shock to me. So we did everything we could. There was so many distractions. The devil just tried stopping us from getting here. And after having faith in God, living by faith, he actually brought us, you know, 2,300 miles away to Charleston.
You all got in one vehicle. And how did you get here? How did you fund your way getting here?
By the grace of God, by miracle. Last minute, having nothing, sold a couple vehicles. Within days, just a day before we left, and was able to make it here.
So you pretty much sold everything you had?
Yes, sir. Everything.
There's no home back in Pueblo? There's nothing there?
No, just small belongings, whatever we have in storage, but other than that, no.
Everything you own is in a small storage area, and you've given everything up to come out here to get trained for the gospel. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? That's incredible. And their family picked up the whole family. Just sweet people, really, really sweet. And you get a lot of winter in Pueblo, Colorado?
Yeah, but not as much here.
Not as much as here, no. Not as cold. It's not as cold? Does it get snowy in Pueblo?
Yeah, but it's more like a dirty snow. I like the snow here better.
Yeah, well, wait till April. It's dirty snow in April. Yeah. I love you, man. I'm really proud of you. It's so good to have you here. And God's going to do great things with you. Their whole family, they're just a blessing. Jeez, I could just go one by one, and they're just all amazing stories. Just absolutely phenomenal. So, but I'm going to save it. Rainin, is that how I say it? Henin. Well, he said it was okay, so he's nicer than the rest of you, all picky. Come here, Henin, real quick. Yep. You're very agreeable, Henin. I like that. Henin from Brazil, just got here about a week or two ago. Yeah. 3 weeks ago. How do you like Maine?
It's cold, but...
Yes, it is cold. Yeah. Other than that?
It's good. Very good people.
Yeah. Very good people. What part of Brazil are you from?
I'm southeast, near São Paulo. Okay.
Excellent. Never seen snow before?
Never.
Never. No. You're welcome. He's a good man. You're a good man. All right. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Lord, I pray your blessing upon us this week. Give us a great week for your glory, for your honor. In Jesus' name, everybody.